We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Double mic kind of day. No, actually, can I have Sarah come up here? Sarah Fulman. I meant totally to tell you that I was going to have you share this today, and I told your husband about it. He gave you a hint. Good. I'm glad he did, because I totally forgot to tell you. But I was just wondering if you could just tell everyone the story behind this pulpit here.
Okay, I can do my best. Okay, first off, I wanted to say that message was amazing, and I think you said who here has never heard the sermon, and I raised my hand. I had never heard the sermon before, okay? That was really a blessing. So I think it was last week I woke up, and I had this intense thought of Jeremiah and Julia need a podium or a pulpit. So I just texted Julia, and I was like, hey, have you guys been looking for a pulpit? She was like, yeah, and then I felt the desire to just whatever they need, whatever they're going to want, we need to pay for it. So anyways, they had a pulpit in mind, and they gave me their order. And anyways, I mean, that's how it's here. So it was just really cool. I had never experienced such a thought like that before. I knew it was from God. And then when I asked you,
We mentioned anything to you before that about, so you had no idea?
No, it was one of those things, you know, where you wake up and you have like some ideas of a dream you might have had that night. Like,
yeah.
Just images or thoughts of a dream you had that night. That's kind of what happened, except it was really strong. I felt like I had dreamed about something that night and that you guys needed a podium or a pulpit. So I just kind of...
And what's so awesome about that is Pastor Julie and I had been working on ordering a pulpit. We were like trying to pick out where we wanted to get it. We were thinking about designing our own or getting this one ordered for us. This was the one that we wanted. And, you know, when she told us that like actually Julia did a little praise break. We were still in our room and she just started dancing around the bed praising the Lord because, you know, we had been believing God for a pulpit and, you know, it's just awesome. That's spirit-led giving, you know, like Brother Troy was sharing where the Holy Spirit will put on your heart to give above and beyond your tithe. And that is a total example of it, which goes right along with the message for today about the Holy Spirit and how he leads us. You know, I've preached a similar message to what Troy has been sharing this morning is that, you know, you should tithe. Everyone should tithe, but then you go above and beyond the tithe as the Holy Spirit leads you. So that is just, I mean, we were totally blown away. And so, I mean, thank you for obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing that. So appreciate it. I mean, she just woke up, had this intense thought of they need a pulpit, and we hadn't mentioned a thing to it. Meanwhile, we're actually figuring out where we're ordering our new pulpit from. So, I mean, that's how you know it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Man, so I'm so excited for today for a few reasons. I mean, it's the start of our Encounter God Conference, which last year was our first year of doing the Encounter God Conference, and people's lives were radically touched by the presence and power of God. And I believe it's going to be exactly the same as last year, except better, because God always does things better. Also, today is Pentecost Sunday, which is pretty cool, because today I'm going to be sharing on the Holy Spirit. Which, if you know what Pentecost Sunday is, that was back when the Holy Spirit fell in the early church and people were filled with the presence and power of God. So, man, when I woke up today, I'm like, it's Encounter God Conference, it's Pentecost Sunday, and I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit. That's like a triple whammy. All right, hallelujah. So, let me just say, guys, buckle your seatbelts. Actually, you might want to unbuckle them because things are going to get a little bit wild today. I promise you, you know, of course, we do things decently and orderly here, but sometimes the Holy Ghost has his own plans. So, I just want to encourage you this morning to just press in for everything that God has for you. I know that my life was radically touched and changed by the presence and power of God, and that's what I'll be going into a little bit this morning. But I wouldn't be here today, I wouldn't be in ministry if it wasn't for the baptism and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I got to the point of where church was just boring for me, where I just didn't want to be involved anymore. But it was through God's power that all of a sudden I realized, you know what? God is real. There's something to this. I got filled with his presence and my life was forever changed. So we're talking about today the Holy Spirit. And Sometimes one of the biggest questions that people have for ministers or about God is the Trinity, and they're always trying to figure out what is the Trinity. Have you guys ever wondered what the Trinity is or ever heard someone asking about the Trinity? Well, the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and where people get tripped up is that they're trying to figure out, is it one God or is it three? And if they're three, how does it all work? Well, if you remember back, I believe it was February, where we shared on God the Father. So I decided to take the month of June to preach on the Holy Spirit. And then actually in December, we're going to be preaching on Jesus. You see, they are three separate beings. They're three totally different people, three totally different entities, but they're all the same at the same point. Now, that right there is where people are like, wait, what did you just say? They're three totally different things, but they're the same things. Well, it's the same thing with you and me, because we're three separate things. We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. If you've been born again, you have a spirit. Your spirit has been made alive to God. So you have your spirit, and then which is the real you. That's the you that goes on for eternity. We're eternal beings because of our spirit being made alive to God. Then we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions, all of that. Then we have a body, which is this physical thing that we live in. Okay, so we're three-part beings. Now, anytime you try and separate one of those parts from the other two, you start to have massive problems, right? Have you guys ever tried it? Okay, because if I were to separate my physical side of my being, my body, from my soul and my spirit, well, then I would go on to be in heaven, all right? I wouldn't be here preaching to you this morning. I would be dead in the natural, okay? So you can't separate it. If I were to separate my spirit from my soul and my intellect, well, then I wouldn't be saved, and I would end up being condemned to a lost eternity in hell. Or if I didn't have my intellect, my emotions, my will, I would be nothing better than an animal. I would just be, because animals, they don't have that. All right, that's what separates us from them. They don't have the feelings and the capabilities of a human. Okay, they don't. Anyway, I won't go there, all right? But you see that we're three-part beings, and you can't separate any one of the three without having a major difference in your life experience. Would you agree with that? So that's the way the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are, is that they're three separate entities, yet they're one. And so I dealt with God the Father, His role and His purpose. And if you missed that, you can go back to that month. It's all available on our website. You can listen to it there or on our podcast. And then this month is all about the Holy Spirit. And go figure that I actually planned the month of June, knowing that our Encounter God conference was this month, because it goes right along with the theme of this conference, is having an encounter with God. Amen? And so then December we'll be going into Jesus, okay? So turn with me in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14, and we're going to read starting in verse 15. I hope that's for none of you guys, that siren outside. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, how many of you guys love God? Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. Wait a second, are you telling me that Jesus had commandments? All right, I'm not going to go there. I've preached a whole sermon on that, but some people feel like, you know, we're in the New Testament, it's grace, and there's no obligations to do anything. I don't know. Commandments, right there by Jesus, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, okay? Commandments means they're not options, right? Not optional. You know, some people feel like, oh, I'm saved, and I live in grace, so I can live however I want. I don't know. He says commandments right there, but that's a whole other topic. So, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Say helper. That He, say He, may abide with you forever. Say forever. Don't say forever. Say forever. Okay, not that it really matters, but anyway. All right, so the Holy Spirit, He is the helper, the comforter. And the Greek word for that, not that I always get into Greek, I'm told this, I don't speak Greek, so I can't tell you for sure, but it says that it is the paraclete or parakletos, and that means one called to the side of another for help or counsel. So, now a helper, is what is called, the Holy Spirit is called a helper. And a helper is somebody that gets involved with you, right? For example, if I had a helper, okay, yes, let's take yesterday for example. We had a bunch of helpers show up to the church and we went out and we flyered. That was amazing. And then we came back to the church here. And if you've been here before, you know that there used to be a really big ugly organ sitting right here, okay? And it's been on our heart to move that organ for a while. And so we just haven't had enough big burly men to move that thing. So yesterday, we had four big burly men, including myself. I'm going to include myself in that. But we finally had enough helpers to move that organ downstairs. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can I get a round of applause? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for getting that organ out of here. All right. So anyway, there's nothing wrong if you like organs. Okay. It just didn't fit up here. We didn't really like it. Okay. But anyway, so we had some helpers here. Now, imagine if we had those helpers and I said, hey guys, I'm so thankful that you're here to help. We're going to move that organ downstairs. And then they just stood by and watched. I mean, that wouldn't be help, right? They just stood there watching me as I'm sitting there trying to struggle to move this 400-pound organ or however much it was, and they're just watching me lift and struggle, and I can't get it, and maybe I move it an inch, and then I stop huffing and puffing, but they're just standing there mean by like, yeah, good job, or even maybe telling me, hey, try to do it this way, try to do it that way, right? Of course, just like someone watching an NFL football game or whatever, they're telling everyone else how to do it. That wouldn't be much help, right? A helper is someone that comes over and gives me some help by lifting and moving that burden. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, He is actually by Jesus called a helper. He wants to come into your life and get involved. Sometimes I feel like people think that He's just there with you. He's there as like a nice fluffy idea that it's God that I can talk to Him every once in a while and tell Him about my problems. No, He wants to come into your life and get involved and begin removing burdens, strengthening you, equipping you, guiding you, and empowering you to do the works of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So He's our helper. He's our comforter. Not just watching what we're doing. Now, He's the comforter. So that means when you're uncomfortable, He comes to comfort you, right? Okay, so if I was living in continual pain, physical pain in my body, let's say maybe even I was paralyzed or I was living in a disease, would you say that that's comfortable? No, right? I mean, you might get used to living in pain, but you're always aware of that pain being in your life. And yet, so in order to comfort someone that's in physical pain, you don't just say, hey, I hope you feel better tomorrow, right? That might make you be like, oh, that's nice that he said that to me. That was very kind of him. But you're still going to actually be feeling that physical pain, right? It doesn't go away just by saying like, hey, I hope you get better. That physical pain goes away when something comes in and takes it out of there. So in order to comfort somebody that's sick, the Holy Spirit, being the comforter, has to come, get involved in your life. He comes in and He actually removes that pain out of your life. I think sometimes we just think that the comforter is there when you're just feeling down and you're eating like 16 Twinkies or whatever, and you know, you're eating a bucket full of ice cream by yourself. I've never done that. No, I'm just kidding. I do it. I've done it. Okay, I'm guilty. But I'm just saying that that's not the only role of the comforter, is to come help you when you're feeling emotionally down. The comforter is there anytime you're going through something that's not comfortable. He's there to comfort you. Now, I'm not talking about when the Lord is stretching you in an uncomfortable way, when He's trying to put on your heart to go from 2% giving to 5%. Sometimes that feels uncomfortable, and you can't call out to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, deliver me from this uncomfortable situation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when it's something that goes against God's word, when it goes against God's plan for your life, if it's uncomfortable, if it's painful, if it's depression, if you get a letter in the mail that says, hey, we're coming to repo your car, that's an uncomfortable situation. And you can say, Lord, you sent the comforter, come comfort me. And you might not know how to do it, but He does, and He can figure it out, and He can deliver you from that uncomfortable situation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, like I said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, He isn't just present with you. He wants to be involved in your life. And sometimes when you have helpers, you actually have to give a little bit of instruction. Hey, I need help in this area. Sometimes we actually have to communicate with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, I'm going through this. Help me, Lord. The Lord wants to know sometimes, hey, I want you involved in my life. I want you to come and help me. You can't just assume. I couldn't have just assumed that because we had three guys downstairs that they were automatically going to know that I wanted them to come up and move this organ. No, I had to say, hey guys, we got this big, heavy organ that we want out of here. Will you please come help me? And they were more than willing. I shouldn't say more than willing. They were somewhat willing to come. I'm just kidding. But they were willing to come up and help me move that thing. Trust me, I wasn't even really that willing to do it. But the Holy Spirit is willing. He wants to come help us. And so you have to say, Lord, I need help in this area. Please deliver me from this burden, whatever's been attacking you, whatever's been trying to hinder you, trying to stop you from moving forward. Man, just call out on the helper. Say, helper, come help me. Come comfort me. And he will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's a counselor. And a counselor is one who gives advice, right? Now, advice doesn't really do anything for you unless you actually listen to, hear the advice, and then do something about it, right? Now, let's just say that I knew I was an expert in some area of my life, and someone came and they needed help. Let's just take finances, for example, and someone's saying, how do you set up a budget? And I've been setting budgets up for people, and I've been helping people. And then they ask me for help, and I sit here and I give them a detailed plan of, here's what you do. You plan this, this, and this. Keep track of all your finances. Know where it's going in. Know what's going out. And I give them that plan. If they're there sitting the whole time on their phone playing Angry Birds or something, I don't know what's popular these days, but they're playing a game on their phone, and they're not really listening to me, they're not going to be able to do anything with that advice. Right? Now, let's say they actually listen the whole time and they're thinking, man, this is great stuff. It's so wonderful. It's awesome. And then they go home and they do nothing about it. Regardless of the wonderful advice that I gave, it doesn't actually help them. So that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, is we have to ask him for help, but then we actually have to actually do what he's telling us to do. I'm going to give you an example of where I failed to do this, all right? And some of you may have heard this before, but sometimes we learn from our failures and not just our victories, right? So I was 18 or 19 years old. I think I was 19 at this point, and I was living in Tampa, Florida, and going to Bible school, and my one car, I got into a car accident, and it died. I actually did okay. Insurance paid me a good amount of money, so I was able to take that money and buy a new car. Now, when I went to go buy this new car, I really liked the way it looked. I liked the way it drove. I liked that when I stepped on the pedal, it had a turbo engine, so it would just fly. I'm driving down the road, and I didn't have anyone there to look at the car with me, and being 18, 19, not knowing anything about cars, I popped the hood and everything was covered in that nice plastic like they do in some cars these days. And I thought, oh, it looks great. They must have, like, you know, dusted the top off of it. And so I come back the next day to go to sign the papers to buy it. And when I did that, I felt a check right here. I felt like, ooh, something doesn't feel good about that. But I thought, you know what, that's just me being silly. You know, this is a great car. I test drove it. I like the way it drove. I like everything about it. It was the right color, the right price, yada, yada, all the right stuff. So I'm like, that's just me being silly. So I signed the papers, and it was one of those deals where it was an as-is. That should have been a good red flag right there, okay? You know about lemon laws? Well, when you buy it as-is, it throws the lemon laws. And let me tell you, I bought a lemon. Okay, so I'm driving down the road in that car. I just left the dealership. I'm 20 minutes down the road, and a lot of, you know, cars these days are so electronic. All of a sudden, everything in the car is blinking on and off, including the power steering, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm trying just to get off to the side of the road without making a mess of my life, all right? And so so I pull off to the side of the road, and I call the dealership, and I'm like, hey, that car that I just bought, I literally am 20 minutes down the road, and it just died on me. So they're like, oh, it's probably just the battery. So they drive down, they come over, and they take that nice shiny plastic stuff off, and under it was a battery where it was caked, like piled high in corrosion. Okay, it was so bad that it started to eat through the terminal of the battery. Okay, so it was a problem from day one. I wish I could say that it got better from there, but they gave me a new battery, and I was like, praise Jesus, everything's going to work out fine. I knew it was just like a little thing. Well, it was probably a few months later when, and I'm thankful for Brian sitting here on the front row, our car mechanic, because he's helped me through a lot of these situations. But I'm driving down the road, and I look to my passenger seat, and like Brother Troy was sharing here, that when it rains in Florida, it just downpours, buckets are coming down. Well, I'm sitting there driving down I-75 on the highway, and I look to my right, and in the passenger seat on the floorboard is about this much water. Somehow water was coming up from the front tire, coming up underneath, and just coming into my car. I was driving in a puddle by the end of that trip. And then I can't tell you the number of things that went wrong with that car until finally the transmission on that car broke down completely, and I was only able to sell the car to break even with the loan. Thankfully, someone was willing to pay like $2,500 for the car. I owed $2,500, but I think I had paid like $11,000 for the car like a year or two prior. So that's a pretty bad investment, right? So when the Holy Spirit, he's giving you advice, it often comes like that. We want like this big, bold voice to say, Jeremiah, this is God. Do not buy this Saab. Right? But that's not very often how it happens, at least not in my case, all right? So when I'm there signing the car, I feel like this really uneasy feeling, and I signed that car and drove with it. I just signed my life for a whole bunch of mess that the Holy Spirit was actually trying to prevent me from going through. And so I learned from that mistake. I learned that I don't care what it is. It might make the most sense. It could be someone coming up to you with an investment opportunity where it's guaranteed. Like a Western Union thing that you get online. I'm just kidding. I get these Western Union scams where they're like, $100 equals $1,500. Please invest today. Anyway, just kidding. But someone could come up with a guaranteed opportunity, and if you don't feel right about it here, then just move on. It might not make any sense at all, but when you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you listen to the advice that he's giving you, he's doing that to prevent you from going through problems. So you have to be open to hearing the advice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. The best advice and the best counsel comes from God because he is Almighty God. He knows everything. He's omniscient and omnipresent. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He knows every situation. So he knows what to tell you. Amen? So just listen to his advice. He knew all the problems that car had before I bought it. Had I listened to him, I wouldn't have had to go through that. But as I said, I've learned from my mistake. And if that ever happens to you, I pray that you'll never have to learn from your mistake. Listen to my mistake and learn from me, all right? When you're going to sign on the dotted line, you don't feel easy about it, or you feel uneasy about it, just don't do it. Now, did you notice that it doesn't say it will come? It says he will come. I think this is where some people have gotten confused, where they think the Holy Spirit is an it. But Jesus here calls him a he. And notice that he didn't say a bird is going to come. Of course, because some people read the scripture where it says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. It's like they forget the word like is there. I'm personally in my vocabulary trying to get rid of the word like, but sometimes that word like is actually important because it said that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, not as a dove, and people have this idea that he's just some feathery bird flying through the air, and then if you're in a church service and an angel feather falls out of the air conditioning, that it's the Holy Spirit descending into the service. Not true, okay? Glad some of you guys enjoyed that. Now, it says that he descended like a dove, right? Did it ever say that he ascended like a dove, went back into heaven? So he came down, right? But he never went back up. And yet some people are fighting and fighting and fighting. They're like out with their spiritual swords, fighting to open up portals into heaven to try and get the Holy Spirit to come down once again and manifest his presence. But you don't have to. Because he came down and he never went back up. Jesus, on the other hand, he came down and the Bible says that he ascended back into heaven so that he could send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, which we're celebrating today, several thousand years ago, a couple thousand years ago, and today he's still here with us. So we don't need to try and work ourselves up into getting the Holy Spirit to come. He's actually here with us this morning. His presence is here in this very room. And today you can, and I believe many of you will receive an encounter with the Holy Spirit that will totally radically change your life. Amen. Now notice also that he is not a language. Some people felt or feel that he's the language of speaking in tongues. The language of speaking in tongues is an evidence that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You see that very often throughout the New Testament in the book of Acts, that when people had hands laid upon them by the Apostle Peter or Paul, or he, as Peter was preaching, that the Holy Spirit filled the place and people were filled with his presence and began speaking in tongues. But that was just an evidence that they had been filled with speaking in tongues. You can't just say, well, I speak in tongues and that is the Holy Spirit. I know that's kind of basic, but you have to understand that he is a he. That he is a person. If he's a person, then I'm able to develop a relationship with him just like I am able to develop it with our brother Troy, with my wife, with Brian, with any of you. We can develop a relationship. And God wants to personally have a relationship with you. And that's one of the benefits. I'm going to read a scripture that shows where Jesus says that it's to our advantage that he goes to heaven to send the Holy Spirit. Because if Jesus was still here on earth, he'd probably be over in Jerusalem and I would have to go make trips to see Jesus. But he went to heaven for our advantage so that the Holy Spirit can be present with you and me here, as well as in whoever's over in Jerusalem and anywhere else around the world. We can experience the very same presence today that the Apostle Peter and the other disciples back 2,000 years ago in the upper room had experienced. That same presence is here in the room this morning. It's not a different Holy Spirit. He didn't leave. It's not a language. It's not a bird. It's a person. And he is here in the room today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And notice that it says that he is with us forever. He's with us forever. He's always with us. Always. In good situations, when I'm going through a tough time, like when the disciples were going through storms, when Paul was on his way to Italy and he crashed on the island of Malta, that wasn't a very pleasant situation, but the Holy Spirit was with him. He's always with you. He's right there just waiting for you to reach out to him by faith and ask him to come help you, to come comfort you for whatever it is you need. So don't talk about your struggle. Talk to the Holy Spirit and say, come help me, come deliver me, come comfort me, come give me the advice that I need to get out of this situation. James says that God will give us wisdom if we ask for it. So ask the Lord for wisdom. Holy Spirit, I need wisdom in this situation. Please tell me how to handle this. Please tell me where to go. Please tell me if I should buy this car. I wish I had prayed that prayer, but I didn't. But you can. You can ask God how to handle different situations, and he will personally come and tell you. So he's with us forever. You're never alone. And if he's with us forever, that means he's with us for all of eternity. Because when God says forever, he actually means the word forever. When we die, our physical body dies and goes to heaven, we're still going to be in the presence of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit will be there with us there. So why not develop a relationship with him here on earth? That way when we get to heaven, we won't be strangers. We'll already be friends. Right? That's kind of like a joke, but it's somewhat true. All right, so let's go on to verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples before the day of Pentecost. He's saying that he dwells with you now, but he will be in you. That means the disciples, they had the Holy Spirit dwelling with them, but not yet in them. So, and here, this is the reason that many people refuse to believe in God is because they don't see God or know him. It says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. If you've ever tried to share the gospel with some people, sometimes the objection is, well, I can't see God or I can't know God, I can't feel God. Well, you might not be able to see him with your physical eyes. You might not be able to sense him with your physical body right away, but you can sense him in your spirit, and he needs to come and dwell on the inside of you, and then he gives you the revelation just of how real God is. But some people have to feel like they need to figure everything out in order for it to be real. They need to know that it makes sense in their mind. But as I've said before, that if God could fit in your mind, he would be a pretty small God. I should say that in my mind. I don't want to insult your mind. If God could fit in my mind, he'd be a pretty small God. I know your minds are probably way bigger than mine. So he comes to fill you, though, just like he did in Acts chapter 2 when he came and he filled them. Now, for me, I was told about God ever since I was a child. I grew up in a Christian family, and I thank God for that. And as a child, I believed wholeheartedly in God. I always knew that Jesus was real, and I believed in him. But it's one thing as a child, when you're told that, and you're told that your whole life, and you, I mean, when you're a child, you believe in Santa Claus if they tell you about Santa Claus, right? So I believed in Jesus. I believed that he was real. But it came to the point in my life where I was going to church that everything just started to become religious. And, you know, as I've been out sharing with people the gospel this week, I've found many people that don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about church because they've been to a religious service where maybe, you know, they came in and they were told about a bunch of things that you can do or can't do and a bunch of rules of how you have to do this, have to do that, dress a certain way, talk a certain way, all these different things. And for me, I was going to church not because I wanted to, but because I had to, because everything just started to become, it started to just become religious to me, where it was just something that we had to do. It was no longer about a relationship that I was having with a person. It's almost like when you first go to work and you're excited the first day on the job, you're super excited, I got this brand new opportunity about it that I'm about to enter. But then maybe a few years down the road, as you've already, you know everything, what you do, what you need to do, you start to call it the grind, right? I'm going in, I'm grinding today, right? Well, that's what church became like to me. When I was a kid, it was awesome, exciting. I had to go color stuff, color pictures of Jesus. But then, like, as I got older, all of a sudden, it just became this grind until I had a real encounter with the presence of Jesus, where I was going to church week after week, and no joke, my buddies and I and my brothers, we would sit in the very back of the church, we would cross our arms, and we would sit there, we would play games in the back, we would get like these little these candies that we would get in Sunday school at the end of class, and I would take those into church, and I would unwrap them, and I would make like little games out of the wrappers. I don't know, I was just trying to do anything but listen and participate in what was going on. And so we would sit in the back and we would make jokes about what the preacher was saying and not want anything to do with any of it. But then I felt on the inside every week the same thing during worship, that I wasn't living right for God, that something was wrong. I wasn't going out and doing lines of cocaine or sleeping with hookers. I was only like 12, all right? But I knew that something was wrong on the inside of me. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you've experienced in the world or haven't experienced in the world. Maybe you're a really good person, but if you've never given your life fully to God, you're going to have that conviction on the inside that something isn't right between me and God. For me, it was disobedience to my parents. I was arguing with them on a weekly basis. Hey, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to, you know, just because you're telling me to, I have to, but I really don't want to. I was disobedient, and I was actually living in sin because of that. And so I'm in church week after week, in the worship time, I just remember the Holy Spirit tugging on my heart, prompting me, saying something needs to change. But I'm sitting there week after week with my friends, and I knew that if I made a decision to change my life, to go down front, to worship God, to surrender my life to Him, that then I wouldn't be cool anymore. That, you know, my friends would think I'm weird. And eventually it got to the point of where I couldn't take the pulling of the Holy Spirit began to become stronger than the feelings of what I cared about, what my friends wanted. And so I made the decision, I don't care what anyone thinks about me, I'm going to go down front. I remember this clear as day. I was sitting here with my friends, and we were just all like, and I'm sitting there like kind of looking to the left and the right, what are they going to think of me? And finally I just did this, kind of got up, went down, didn't look at anyone, went down to the front, and I knelt down at the altar, and I just prayed. I said, God, please forgive me. As soon as those words were out of me, just right now, I can feel the presence of God just coming on me, just like it did that day, that the presence of God just came on me so strong that, like, it, the way that I can explain it, and everyone might explain it different, but I felt like someone took a hot pot of honey and just began dumping it on my head. And it started up here, and it just washed, slowly went down my whole body. Just this amazing feeling. It was like surging full of energy, full of God's power. And as that went down me, I began to weep. No joke, at 13 years old, I was weeping there at the front. My parents probably still remember it. I remember it clear as day. I was weeping for about an hour. The power of God just cleaning me out, taking all those impurities out of my life. Every bad behavior, every bad thought that I had, God washed me totally clean. And I remember getting up after being in the presence of God so strong, and when we left church that day, I felt like a brand new person. You know what? No one came up to me and said, hey, you need to pray this prayer to receive Jesus into your life and go through the whole steps, which I do that with people, and there is a reason that we do that, but it doesn't have to. You just need an encounter with Jesus where you surrender your life to him, and that's what I did. I gave my life to God that day where it just totally cleaned me out. I remember leaving church that day looking up in the sky, and everything looked bluer, brighter. The sky was bluer, the clouds were whiter, the grass was greener. If you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I love where in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, be not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you actually study that, it means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So as amazing as that encounter was in the presence of God, where God just took me and radically changed my life, and actually, at that age, set me on a path to go into ministry. I never had to question, what am I called to do after that? I knew that God had a call on my life. It was just at that point a matter of when I would start. Totally changed the direction that I wanted to go. I wanted to be an airplane pilot. For years, I always said I'm going to be an airplane pilot. After that encounter in the presence of God, I just knew that God had put eternity in my heart, and that because of what I experienced, the freedom that I had received in the presence of God, I knew that that was more important for me, that I wanted to give my life completely to that. And so even at a young age, I knew God had a call on my heart, on my life. And I just began to seek him. And as the Bible says, to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, I began to seek every single opportunity. Anytime there was a Bible study, anytime there was a church service, anytime there was a conference going on, I was there. I mean, most 12, 13-year-olds, you have to beg to go to church. I was like, Mom, can we go to this conference? Hey, Benny Hinn's going to be in Toronto. Can we go there? So I would get a ride with someone and go. I didn't care. I wanted to be anywhere that the presence of God was. And that's where the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you're not going to want anything else. And you have to get that hunger on the inside of you, where you're determined, God, if what Pastor Jeremiah is talking about is real, then I want that. I want it today. I want it now. I need it. Man, it felt like someone took a stack of bricks off my back. Because that's what the weight of sin does. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because when you become a Christian, when you have that experience, that encounter with God, it doesn't make life harder, it makes things easier. He takes the burden from you. The Holy Spirit wants to get involved in your life. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.